We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personality shaping the stories.
Thanks for joining me on Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. This week, we're going to find out how older workers can recognize and fight age discrimination in both the hiring process and in the workplace. Mark the calendar for a fun event coming to the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton International Airport, Real Life Experiences. We'll have all the details. If you're getting the little ghosts and goblins ready for Halloween, we'll be giving you some tips on Halloween costume safety. Wilkes-Barre Chapter number 2306 in NAACP has their Freedom Banquet. It's coming up on Friday, October 21st, and we have the chapter president here to give you a personal invitation. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We'll meet Dr. Robin Screen, Director of Breast Services for Geisinger Health Systems. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself before she tells us how self-care and early detection screenings for all types of cancers are helping to save lives.
I actually have been in Texas for the last 15 years, which leads people to the question of, well, are you from Texas? No, I'm not. I'm originally from Pittsburgh. I am a Steelers fan. And before I headed to Texas 15 years ago, I spent over 10 years down in the Lehigh Valley. So I am certainly native to Pennsylvania. I found my way to medicine, and I think specifically to breast care and breast cancer, mostly through my mother and then secondarily through my family history. My mom was a nurse and then a nurse practitioner. And for a woman of her age and her day, that was quite exceptional. And wanting to emulate her, I started wanting to be a nurse, and she actually encouraged me to go on and be a doctor. So here I am. Breast care found me from my family history. My mother, two of her three sisters, my grandmother, and my cousin all had breast cancer. And I didn't set out to be a breast cancer surgeon, but that's where my passion is. And so here I am. I'm coming to Geisinger to get back home. I missed Pennsylvania, and I simply love that all that Geisinger has to offer. And then it's here in Pennsylvania. Geisinger's chief focus is patient care, and I'm in a place where I can practice what I love to do, which is take care of breast patients and specifically patients with breast cancer.
And that must be, from your perspective and from the patient's perspective, very relaxing in one way, because you are coming to this with a different perspective, having dealt with this in your own family.
I think it's very helpful. Learned a lot from listening to my family members and also having to walk that journey. I think one of the first things I learned, and what we fear so much about when it comes to cancer in general and breast cancer in particular, is the loss of control, because that's really what it's about. Especially as women and mothers, we spend our days trying to maintain control. Control of our families, control of our lives, control of our health. And cancer in general, and breast cancer specifically, in my case, uproots all of that. So I'm able to empathize and understand and walk that walk with my patients since I've done it before. So I think it is very helpful. And I have often heard patients say, you know, they feel so much better after we've had the opportunity to sit down and talk and discuss their situations.
Especially when you're talking about being a surgeon. People, when they get a cancer diagnosis, are, of course, scared. There is a lot of trepidation. And even more so when you find out that you have to have surgery. But in that case, sometimes that's not a bad thing, right?
That's a good thing. Key piece to breast cancer care is surgery. Typically, especially in the cases of early diagnosis of breast cancer, surgery is going to be the first step. Surgery is when we know that it's going to be curative. And even if you need chemotherapy first, at some point you're going to make it to surgery. So if I can do anything to allay someone's fears about the upcoming surgery, what their options are, and explain it to them so that they can understand it, make it relatable, and sort out how they want to approach this. And again, it gives them back that control because they now learn that they are an active part of that decision-making process.
And sometimes, again, when we're talking about all those different things coming at you at the same time, is there a way for a newly diagnosed cancer patient to get more comfort? I mean, we talk about so many people having cancer, especially breast cancer. And now knowing that there's more known about it, does that help them? Or is that, do you find a little bit more daunting? Because again, they're all talking about what happened to me.
I think that living in a more technologically savvy society and culture where people have access to a lot of information has its pluses and minuses. Oftentimes patients walk in and they're well-informed, or even better yet, they have a number of questions. And sometimes the outlet of the internet has given them the idea of what questions to ask or the courage to ask. So I think that that's helpful. Oftentimes, however, they will draw conclusions from what they read about someone else's story. And what I have to explain to them is that everybody's story is unique, and we've got to sort out your story and find what part of your story works well for you. So understanding that breast cancer care is tailor-made for each woman and sometimes men, and then figuring out what their story is going to be. So I actually think it's helpful because I love when patients come with a list of questions.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I wanted to make sure everybody understands, is that everything that they read out there is not necessarily going to be the path that they're going to be on. And I'm glad that you mentioned men, because anytime that I talk about breast cancer, I always want to make sure I mention men, because they're also possibly patients.
Absolutely. It doesn't happen often, but it certainly does happen. For every 100 women diagnosed with breast cancer, one man is diagnosed. And you will sometimes meet people who say, yeah, my uncle had breast cancer or my father had breast cancer. When there is that family history of a man having breast cancer, or you are a man who's had breast cancer, genetic testing is absolutely involved, because what we worry about even more now is there that one of those breast cancer genes within that family?
And that brings us to something else that I would like you to touch on, the BRCA genes. Because again, as you just mentioned, there's a lot of information out there and people read about this, and sometimes that's a good thing, as you said, and a bad thing. So can you explain a little bit about BRCA?
I can. First of all, there's a lot more than BRCA now. We've known about BRCA1 and BRCA2 for over 20 years, and we've been able to test for that for about the same amount of time. We now can test for up to 32 different types of genes that increase your risk of getting breast cancer, but we hear most about BRCA1 and BRCA2 because those are the most common. I think the message that I'd like to get out is to talk to your healthcare provider or connect to someone here at Geisinger to find out, are you at high risk? Should you undergo genetic testing? And if you have a family history of breast cancer, it's good to ask that question. But it's not only breast cancer. It's ovarian cancer in your family history, prostate cancer, colon cancer, and then to a lesser degree, some other types of cancers like stomach cancer, thyroid cancer, and as well as pancreatic cancer.
I didn't realize there were so many other genes that were involved because, again, you're right. You hear about BRCA because it's been around for so long. So when people are, you mentioned as far as the genetic studies are concerned, is that something, well, when would someone even consider that?
Your best resource is a genetics counselor. And if you can't start there, because they are sometimes hard to find. And I will say we're fortunate to have three right here at the Med Center. But if you can't start with a genetics counselor, you want to start with a healthcare professional who is well-versed in information about genetic testing. Things that you need to be aware of, like I said, is your cancer family history. And that's typically multiple relatives, different types of cancer. And for me, I'm looking for family history of breast, prostate, ovarian, or colon. But like I said, there are other types of cancer. And also, people need to keep in mind that it's not only your mother's side, but your father's side. So it's a matter of talk to your doctor, and if they're not sure, they should be able to connect you with somebody who can go through the questions with you and help you sort out should you undergo genetic testing and or see a genetics counselor.
And that is something that has also changed over the years, because many years ago, people did not know what a relative may have passed on from.
Very true.
Because it was mostly old age, and that was the way that it was left. So if we switch gears just a little bit here, I know you're on the surgical end of it, but as we are getting into October, being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, awareness, that's a big word. So can you give our listeners a little bit more information? Because we all hear mammogram, but is there more to it in order for awareness to really play a role?
I think there are two answers to that question. And I think first, you know, with our current tagline of self-care, that's really what Breast Cancer Awareness Month is all about. Early detection is essential, and prevention is also a very important part. So self-care falls into that prevention piece. We've got to learn to, as women, take better care of ourselves. You know, things that reduce your risk, because we do have some control over developing breast cancer, include eating a healthy diet, weight loss, low-fat diet, exercise, stress and sleep. High stress, lack of sleep, all of those things increase your risk of developing breast cancer. Those are some of the things that we have control over. I think the difficult piece is that we all strive as women, we're constantly on a diet. And we all strive to find, I'm going to go to the gym. I would like to tell people that instead of thinking of eating less, think of eating more. Think of eating more things that are good for you. Pick the fruits and vegetables you love and go to town. You're also less likely to eat as much junk food if you're eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. You should be eating at least 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. I don't like the gym. I'm not going to go to the gym. I have a gym membership. Granted, it's only $10 a month, but I haven't been there since before COVID. And so what do I like to do? I love to go on walks. And if you're going to go on a walk, you got to get your heart rate up to a certain point. You can't start, you can't take a walk and keep your heart rate at the same pace and think you're benefiting yourself. It's not bad, but we've got to get our heart rate up. I love to do ballet, so that's what I do. You won't find me in the gym, but you'll find me in the dance studio. So it's find what you love or like, and in finding those things you love or like, hopefully your stress level is going to go down. Hopefully your sleep is going to get better. those are the things that we need to work on. Self-care has a direct impact on whether or not we get breast cancer. It really does have an effect.
I love ballet. What a great idea.
Adult dance is big right now. Would you like to join me?
I would, but I don't know. I'm afraid I'd really be a klutz when it came to that.
We have some people in the class who've never danced before.
That's very exciting. And again, it's good to point out because people would probably not think of that. They all think about going to the gym, and I'm with you on that as well. I'd rather take the walk and get my heart rate up than go in and do that kind of stuff. And again, when we're talking about self-care, one of the things that you mentioned was we as women do not take good care of ourselves because we're taking care of others. That includes making time to have the mammogram.
And that was my second point, which is self-care includes taking care of our health, for as far as screening studies. People will often say, I feel fine, I don't feel a lump. We don't want to get to the point where the lump is large enough to feel it. As the lump grows in size, the risk of it spreading increases also. So self-care is about taking time to go get a mammogram. And I always liken it to this when, you are flying in a plane and the flight attendant says to you, in the event of an emergency, should the oxygen drop down and you're traveling with someone, please put it on yourself first. Well, if you don't put the oxygen mask on yourself first, you then pass out. You can't take care of the child or the person sitting next to you because you've now passed out. It's no different with going to get your mammogram and other health maintenance things such as colon screenings and pap smears, because if you're not here, then you can't take care of them.
And that pretty much says it all right to a T. What would you like our listeners to know? I mean, you have so much great information and people are waiting to find out what they can do because sometimes they're overwhelmed. So is there anything that you would like to make sure that our listeners know as far as self-care, as far as surgery, as far as diagnosis, anything that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
I think the final thing would be advocacy. Healthcare has changed. It's no longer paternal. That's both good and bad. You don't go to the doctor anymore and they tell you what you have to do and you do it. It's changed, and so you need to advocate for yourself. You need to know what tests you should be having. You need to know when you're supposed to go to the doctor and follow up on it. You need to know when to get your colonoscopy and your mammogram. And once you're in for a discussion, because there is a health-related issue, if you can't advocate for yourself, if you can't speak up, if you can't ask the questions because you're not comfortable or you're not sure what to ask, then bring somebody with you who can.
And the other thing I would also like you to just expand upon a little bit is the fact that locally there are so many great docs like yourself. There are so many great facilities. And I know the facility that you have there has the latest technology. And sometimes that's what people need to hear. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
I'm going to assume in this case you're talking about what we call commonly 3D mammograms, also known as breast tomosynthesis. In my head, that has become the standard of care for mammograms. And the difference, the biggest difference, I think, that's most impactful about getting a 3D mammogram is not only will it pick up or is more likely to pick up a breast cancer, but just as importantly, it's as likely to say this is nothing to worry about, and then you don't have to come back. They're able to discern better, is this just dense tissue in some cases, or is this actually a mass we need to work up? Some people may have also heard with 3D mammograms and are concerned that maybe it's more painful or there's more radiation involved. It's safe, it's a small amount. And oftentimes, the radiation that we receive by going through a metal detector is more significant than the radiation we get from a mammogram.
Exactly. And that's why I'm glad you said it, because I don't know, other than saying 3D mammogram, the name of it. And as a patient, I would come in and I would say, Dr. Screen, I need that 3D mammogram. What can you tell me about that? So again, and if a patient does get to the point where they have to see you as a surgeon, again, you also have at your fingertips the latest technology there as well.
I do. I'm spoiled and thankful.
This is going to be a big month. The word's going to be out there. So if you have anything else that you would like our listeners to know, I would love to hear it.
I guess the last thing I'd say, besides take care of yourself, get your mammogram screenings, do what you can to get healthy, be kind to yourself. It's baby steps to get to the point where you're eating what you should, doing what you should. But pull your sisters, cousins, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, nieces, uncles, all your family members along with you in this journey to get healthy and be aware of what screenings you need, what health care you should seek, and taking care of yourself.
Dr. Screen, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks again to Dr. Robin Screen, Director of Breast Services for Geisinger Health Systems. Coming up next, your invitation to the Freedom Banquet and Wheel Life Experiences on Special Edition. Next on Special Edition, the airport's the place to be for Wheel Life Experiences. We'll have the details, but first, you're invited to the Freedom Banquet, hosted by Wilkes-Barre Chapter Number 2306 NAACP. Chapter President Jamel Kaliste is here with your invitation.
Our banquet is going to be on October 21st, starting at 6 p.m. It's going to be at Jannetty's downtown Wilkes-Barre.
And I understand it's not just a banquet, it's also a fundraiser.
Yes, absolutely. So we try to kill two birds with one stone, get the community out, enjoying a good night, also while trying to raise money. We will have some raffle baskets as well and accepting donations all night.
And speaking of the banquet, I understand that you have all kinds of things planned, especially a guest speaker. Who is that?
Our guest speaker is Ms. Wanda Ochi, and she is a motivational speaker from the area working in higher education, and we are so excited to have her.
What's the purpose of the banquet? I know besides a fundraiser, besides getting everybody together, do you have something else in mind when you're doing something like this and inviting the whole community?
Yes. The purpose is, honestly, to just come together. More than anything, at the root of it all, it's just to just be amongst each other, to just remind each other why we're in this work, why we're doing what we're doing. Obviously, we're fundraising, but this is a chance for us to reconnect with old friends, connect with new friends as well. So at the root of it, it's all about just a gathering, honestly.
And from what I understand, tickets are still available, and you have up until what's the date? I know you can get them online, right?
Yes. So we've launched something new this year. You can get the tickets on Eventbrite. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, through Eventbrite, you may be able to get them up until about a week before the event. We may extend it, but right now that's where.
Are they available at the door?
Yes. Yes, you can get tickets at the door.
Okay. And I guess the other question then, too, is when people are coming to the event, you're inviting everybody, right? So when they get there, what can they expect?
Oh, they can expect an inviting environment. They can expect a night of laughs. They can expect to see some community constituents, from a lot of community leadership. They can expect to be amongst good energy. Good food, awardees. It's going to be a great night.
Tell us a little bit about the NAACP chapter in the Diamond City.
We've been here for the better part actively since the 80s, just doing our part for our small growing community within the county. We do different things like advocate for equality, equity. We make sure that we're a voice for the unheard we use our platform and our megaphone to try to give life to situations that may have been pushed under the rug. You can look for the NAACP to be active in not only issues of legal matters, but also just being in the community. We have a host of different committees as well. We are membership-based organizations, so obviously it's not closed. And the more members and the more help we have, the more we can do for the community. But we are taking steps into this digital age. We've launched and continue to spread our social media footprint. You can find us on all social media platforms. We have a website as well. And again, we are just trying to build the bridges between the youth and the adults as well, just making this area in total a strong NAACP force and a organization that people can look towards for anything.
I'm guessing then that you are still welcoming members. How would they go about doing that?
Like I said, you can find us on any social media platform. You can also reach out to us via email, wbnaacp2306@gmail.com. And again, you can find us on all social media platforms and reach out to us, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and we'll respond.
Jamel, I'm going to give you the last word. You can invite everyone to the banquet and also to come and join you folks whenever you're going to be doing anything. It's all yours.
Greetings, everyone. For all ears that can hear me, my name is Jamel Kalis of Wilkes-Barre NAACP, and I'm inviting you to the annual Freedom Fund Banquet, October 21st, 6 p.m. You can expect a night of just great energy, community, and good times. Outside of that, if you can't make it, feel free to reach out to us on all social media platforms, and we'd love to have you as a member. So take your time, do research, and we'll be here.
Thanks to Wilkes-Barre Chapter 2306 NAACP President Jamel Kalis. And don't forget, you can find them on social media. Now we're going to head to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport for Real Life Experiences. Co-chairs of the event, Eric McKittish and Denise Price.
We do have a great event for children and families coming up here at the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Airport on Saturday, October 22nd. And it is our second annual event. It is called AVP's Real Life Experiences. Instead of a real life experience, this is a wheel life experience.
And what went in, Denise, to bringing this to the airport? Because it sounds like there's many, many different types of, as Eric said, wheels that are going to be there.
Yes, this is our second annual, as Eric said. Last year, we decided to do this as a fundraiser to raise money for a local police department that was trying to get a canine, which they've actually attained now. And that started the idea. It was a huge success. Everyone that came last year loved it and asked if we would be doing it again. We have a lot of our vehicles featured, our snow equipment, plows, first responder vehicles that come. And last year we did have the state police. They put out a helicopter. This year we have a little bit more, but the vehicles are, you're able to get up close and personal with them and touch them, which is a really nice experience for something like this.
I can imagine. And since it's going to be at the airport, will there be an airplane or two maybe hanging out on the perimeter?
There's actually going to be a few type of aircraft here. There will be a current aircraft. There will be, right now, there is a World War II aircraft coming as well. We will have some helicopters as well from the Pennsylvania State Police. Geisinger Life Flight will be here. Right now, we actually have a tentative participation from the United States Coast Guard as well. Unfortunately, that's all dependent on things going on in the Atlantic.
Absolutely. And we understand that. And speaking about things that are going on, the event, rain or shine?
It will be rain or shine. So we are hoping for clear skies on a beautiful autumn day, but it would be rain or shine. That's just because of some of the exhibitors that would be there that might not be able to come on another day. If it is inclement weather, just bring your umbrella.
Well, Sounds like good advice. Denise, are there going to be other folks that are there who may not be actually in the wheel life experience, but might be there for information or just to get the word out about what they do as far as wheels are concerned?
We will have someone who will be doing face painting for the children and also someone who is a balloon artist. And these two services will be complimentary for any child that would like to take part of that. And we will have food vendors in food trucks as well.
And it's happening on the 22nd. What times?
The times, Paula, are going to be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It will be here at the airport on the air side. And there will be free parking as well. Admission will be $5 per person once you get here. And you can also, everything is going to be online. So if you go to flyavp.com, you can get all the information that you need on the event and to get your tickets.
And I have to ask, are you still looking for volunteers or sponsors or anything else that people can get involved in other than just coming and having a great time?
We are still looking for sponsors, volunteers. You can never have enough volunteers. If anybody would like to help out, please reach out to us. Either at the airport, call in 570-602-2000, or send us a message on social media, and we'll be happy to respond back to you. We are also looking for exhibitors of all types, any type of vehicle with a wheel on it. I know because it's at an airport, we would be getting aircraft, but there are other things as well. You know, if you are part of a fire department, you work for a construction company, our local sanitation departments, they bring something in. Anything that has wheels that would be great for the kids to explore, we will accept.
Somehow, Eric, I think it's also going to be a big draw for the adults as well, because there are so many things that you're talking about that really get people excited. So, Denise, I'm going to give you the big responsibility. You tell everybody the where, the when, the why.
Okay, so this is going to happen on October 22nd, and that is a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be held on our general aviation ramp, and it will be at the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton International Airport, rain or shine. We're hoping for shine. And we would love to see everyone there and come out and just see all the equipment we have and everyone that's participating. I think it'll be a great family event again this year.
And I should also ask very quickly, too, if somebody doesn't have their tickets in advance, can they get them the day of?
You can get them at the gate as well. That's not a problem to do that as well.
Okay. And anything else that maybe I've left out that you two want to make sure that everybody knows about this fun day that's coming up? All right.
Hope to see everyone there.
Thanks to Wheel Life Experiences co-chairs Eric McKittish, Director of Marketing, Communications, and Air Service Development, and Denise Price, Assistant Director of Public Safety and Airport Security Coordinator at the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton International Airport. Now don't go away. We're getting ready for Halloween and fighting age discrimination on Special Edition.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Coming up in this segment of Special Edition, we're going to find out how older workers can recognize and fight age discrimination. We're starting off, though, getting ready for Halloween. Dawn Webster, Advanced Practice Clinician Director with MedExpress, joins us, and she has Halloween costume safety tips. Dawn, it's that time of the year. The leaves are changing. People are getting excited because Halloween is coming. Woo! Do you have your costume?
I do not. Not yet.
How about the kids?
They don't have theirs either. We're a little behind this year.
Well, that's okay. That'll still give you time. And I know, of course, when we talk about Halloween, much, much, much concern as far as safety. Where do you want to start?
So let's start with the costumes.
Sounds like a plan. Here we go.
So when we're looking at kids' costumes, the one big thing we have to kind of realize is that when we take a kid shopping, they want the fancy, the extravagant, as much as they can possibly get. You know, if there's 13 accessories they can choose from, they're going to want all 13. But we do have to remember, with kids especially, simpler is better. So the things you want to look for when you're looking at costumes are, the first thing is it flame resistant? Flame resistance is so important because there are candles everywhere during Halloween. They're in pumpkins, they're in houses as decorations. People have them going because they make everything smell good. They add to the Halloween mood. So definitely look at the costume. It should say flame resistant, flame retardant on it. And the other aspect of Halloween costume safety is it reflective? Because they're worn at night. So the worst thing you could do is put your kid in an all dark costume and then send them around the neighborhood when cars and anyone driving by isn't going to be able to see them well. So if your costume doesn't have anything reflective or bright of lights on it, then add them. You can add reflective tape. They have Halloween bags now that actually light up, which is a great idea if, you know, the costume is dark and doesn't have anything really reflective or bright on it. And then you also want to start thinking about the accessories like we talked about. So hats and masks and wigs, you know, are they covering their eyes? Are they going to be able to see? Are they going to trip going up the steps? Is there going to be a long cape? There's so many things to think about that it's almost very overwhelming when you start to look at all the fine details.
I think a lot of times too, people have gotten the idea used to trunk or treat. So now they're in an enclosed area in a parking lot, but still you have to be concerned because falling, tripping, that can cause injuries just as anything else could.
Sure. And then you also have to look at the other accessories. Are they carrying swords around? Do they have a broom? So not only can they hurt themselves if they fall on that, but you know the younger kids use those, even if they're just playing as weapons and pretending to hit kids. And so it really can be quite overwhelming to shop for costumes and think about safety. But we really do have to take all of those things into consideration.
What do you have next? Because costumes, probably one of the biggest, but I'm sure that there's more.
Well, there is, but there is actually a couple more points on costumes and costume safety that I just wanted to mention. So the first is the contact lenses. So for teens, preteens especially, they are so into, you know, the spooky, creepy, colored contact lenses that make your eyes look all white or all black. And I mean, really, they're being sold as being over the counter, no prescription needed, but it's completely a bad idea to take contact lenses that are made for pretty much anyone and put them into a younger person's eye or let them attempt to put them in their eye. You're just asking for trouble, not to mention, you know, the possibility of getting an abrasion or a scratch or even worse, an infection. So please stay away from the contact lenses that are not given to you by an eye doctor.
Well, you caught me off guard on that one. I didn't even think about that. Okay, what's next?
Yes, so that's actually a newer thing. Those have only been really popular the past couple years, but we have seen an increase in eye injuries because of them at MedExpress. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about in terms of costume safety and costumes in general are the kids, the babies. So if you haven't had a baby in a while, you're not really, you know, thinking about it. But those who do have babies now, I mean, they know the diaper explosions happen. So it's always good to have a plan B. There's nothing worse than getting the cutest, most expensive little costume you can find, putting it on, and then there being a blowout. So maybe a better idea to either, you know, put it on at the last minute or have a plan B just in case that happens. And that goes along with potty training too. So, you know, if your 2 or 3 year old is still not great with potty training, then you have to worry about, are they going to be able to get that costume off in time when they do realize they have to go and they have to go now? So always have a plan B. Even if you don't have a plan B, I guess throw an extra pair of clothes in the bag just in case, because it's better to have it than not to have it. We always want to be prepared.
Spoken like a true mom. And I'm not even going to say, did it sound like anything like that happened to you? We'll just move right on.
Yes, yes.
So from costumes, Dawn, now what?
Okay, so let's talk about pumpkins, because that's the other thing that everyone associates with Halloween, pumpkins and pumpkin carving. Obviously, pumpkin carving can be very dangerous. Most importantly, we never want to give a knife to a toddler or a young child and let them attempt to carve their own pumpkin. I have a hard enough time carving these pumpkins. They're hard, they're slippery, they're curved. I mean, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. So as much as they want to do it on their own, really not a good idea. There are alternatives. The kits now, they come with stencils. So you can have the child, you know, trace the stencil onto the pumpkin or even just draw a face. Or if you don't want to carve pumpkins, you can even do something like give them paints, let them paint the pumpkin. And then they also have craft kits now that come with pumpkin accessories almost on toothpicks. So, for example, you can pick eyes to put in the pumpkin. You can pick a nose. You can pick a mouth. It's almost like a Mr. Potato Head set, but they're made for pumpkins and they're reusable. They're super cute. So that's another option if you don't want to carve. But if you are going to carve, and I get it. We love the pumpkin seeds. We love the tradition. So there are pumpkin carving kits that are made for kids and they still need to be supervised. I would never, ever recommend just setting it out and saying, here you go. But they have bigger handles. The edges are blunt. So, you know, it may be easier for the adult to kind of put the saw in to start, but then, you know, you can hand it over to the child and let them actually on getting the eyes out or the nose out. But again, it's going to be easier for them if you're doing a nice simplistic pumpkin. When they see these designs that are, you know, like a black cat in a tree or a witch on a broom, I mean, those are hard for even adults. So try to talk them into the simpler designs, especially when they're younger, especially if they want to help. The next thing we need to think about with the pumpkins is lighting them up at night. So, you know, we've always just put a candle in there, a little votive, but now they actually have, and they're everywhere. They have lights that you put inside the pumpkin. They have flickering lights that look like a candle. They have bright and flashing strobe lights that go to different colors. So there's much safer alternatives now than to put a pumpkin in to put a candle in a pumpkin, which is pretty obviously a fire hazard. Definitely look at those alternatives because they're safer. They're on timers. It's less to worry about. And essentially they're going to do the same thing. They're going to make it nice and bright and look nice.
So we've covered costumes. We've covered pumpkins. Will you come back and give us some more tips because we're not done yet?
Yes, absolutely.
Dawn Webster will be back with us again before Halloween here on Special Edition with more safety tips. Now we're going to meet Bill Rivera. He's the Senior Vice President for Litigation at the AARP Foundation. He's going to tell us how older workers can recognize and fight discrimination in both the hiring process and the workplace. Bill, welcome. Always a pleasure to talk to the folks from AARP. And this time around, we're talking about something that, wow, really is, I can't believe that it happens. Discrimination? Explain, please.
Absolutely. You know, age discrimination, like other forms of discrimination, is wrong and it is illegal. And yet, sadly, it is incredibly prevalent in the workforce. According to an AARP survey, over 62% of older workers said that they had experienced or witnessed discrimination on the basis of age in the workforce recently, which is very sad. So it is incredible that it still happens, but it does. And it is something that AARP obviously has been concerned with for a long period of time.
And here we are, especially coming out of the pandemic, where we were hearing so much about older people getting back into the workforce because they had the skills in order to train? And is that where all that is coming from?
Well, the pandemic certainly saw a lot of changes in the workforce, as we know, and older people both exited the workforce, but also were in demand as workers were more difficult to find for many employers. And so we have seen that we still have a challenge in getting older workers back into the workforce. 1 in 4 older workers have indicated that post-pandemic, they're still having trouble finding a job.
And again, along those same lines, when we're talking about that, we're not talking about older workers. We're talking about many professionals, even as young as 40?
Well, 40 is the official age for the Age Discrimination in Employment Act at the federal level, which makes discrimination unlawful. When we are looking at our surveys, we're looking at the numbers 50 and older, but you're right, as early as 40. Some of the employers start looking for younger workers or thinking about how they can get younger. It's incredible.
Well, then if a person goes in and there is a job that is available and they fill out an application, how would they ever know that they could be affected by this age discrimination in the workplace?
It is very difficult to demonstrate. There's no question about that, especially at the application stage. One of the things that you want to look for example, might be, are they asking about age up front in the application process? Are they asking for your age, your date of birth, your year of graduation early on, or in interviews? It is incredible, but another AARP survey showed that workers 50 and older were reporting that employers were asking for date of birth or date of graduation or other age identifying information 60% of the time.
And maybe you can give us a little bit more information into the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, but I sort of thought that things like that weren't allowed to be asked anymore. Am I incorrect?
Well, unfortunately, employers can still ask, at least with respect to federal law. There are states that have made that an unlawful practice unless there is a bona fide need to have that information, which there rarely, if ever, is an occasion to have that. And you see some other practices that can also be indicators that they're looking for younger workforces. Sometimes you'll see something like no more than 7 years of experience as a requirement for the job, or you'll see language that is coded for younger workers, like digital natives sought, or looking for energetic employees for a young company. You'll sort of get both the indirect as well as the direct as signals early on in the application or interview process.
If you get in that situation, is there anything that a person can do to say, hey, wait a minute, I think that there was something wrong here?
So you can. I think it is something you want to talk about with the recruiter, try to get, or the whoever is hiring for the company, to try to get a better understanding as to what they're looking for and why. But ultimately, if you think that there may be some age discrimination along the way, you might want to consult with an attorney if you have reason to believe that there is something going on about your age. Sometimes you get indications through the interview process. People might ask questions that you think are entirely inappropriate, like, do you think that you can work with all of these young people around here? You know, there might get some of those kinds of questions that are not too subtle in terms of people expressing concern about your age.
Well, I know one of the things that AARP does very well is getting out there, getting the information, and getting the resources. And you have a list of resources. Can you give us a few of those?
Sure. We have a job board at AARP, which is free, which lets you connect with employers that are interested in an age-diverse workforce. There is a resume advisor, again, free, where you can submit your resume and get feedback on how to make your resume stronger to better position you to find a job. AARP Foundation, which is AARP's charitable affiliate, has a Back to Work 50 Plus program that connects you with coaches and experts and provides career advice and tools to help you find a job as well.
And where do we go to find those?
You can go to aarpfoundation.org or aarp.org/age discrimination, and that will send you to a whole host of resources that AARP has available to help people find the job that's best for them.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.